Let's now look specifically at sending agencies and the unique cultural settings that are in those organizations and the Gen X generation's involvement in the sending agencies. So what are some of the positive things that the Gen Xers bring to organizations?
I think one of the things that Gen Xers bring that is positive, even though it sometimes isn't necessarily perceived as being positive, is the almost incessant desire to question everything that's ever been done before. You know, maybe that's a trait of every generation that's coming up to not value the past. But I think our questioning of set procedures, I think particularly because we become aware of inconsistencies or dissonances between our own expectations and then what we find, we're willing to ask questions, well, why is this happening this way? Who says it has to happen this way? And Gen Xers will bring that kind of, hopefully, a breath of fresh air, a willingness to question and to challenge established ways of doing things. And linked to that is something that I've already said, is that we don't necessarily always ask it in the most sensitive way or in a way that can be easily dismissed. Gen Xers can be very blunt. And again, that can be a challenge to people, but I think it can be an asset to allow people freedom to question everything and not to respond with the kind of, well, it's always been this way, or, well, we looked at this 5 years ago, or, well, we tried it 12 years ago and it didn't work. Those kind of answers are guaranteed to demotivate anybody. So I think our impatience actually is an asset. We're not prepared to put up with things that we think are inadequate or substandard. We're not prepared to put up with things that we think are meaningless or don't have any sense.
We're asking questions about agencies and philosophies or concepts that can be as old as the organization. So often it's core concepts and ideas that the Gen Xers may be challenging.
That's right. Some even core values, founding values, if you like, of an organization. Gen Xers have less of a sentimental attachment to an organization and its ways of working and foci and values. I think we need to remember that no values are sacrosanct. I mean, any organization, whenever it's set up, is set up at a certain time because of a certain need that was perceived, or quite often because a certain few people fell out with somebody else and so they went off to do what they felt like.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, organizations reflect their founding time, and values need to be revisited. I mean, not just sort of ways of working and structure, but even values need to be revisited and say, are they still actually what we want to embody, what we want to say, what we want to value? And I don't think that many organizations last a long time without some fundamental remaking. I've heard said that 50 years is a good length of life for an organization. And if organizations don't seriously revisit their existence, their role, their values every 50 years, then they are going to be condemned to a slow decline and a kind of what I call bottom feeders. They just kind of bounce along the bottom, never really achieve any kind of velocity or anything, but just exist after that period. And of course, many organizations are at least 50 years old. Even the more recent ones are now coming up for 50. And it's been interesting that even some of the more recent organizations, those that were founded in the 40s and 50s and 1960s, they are finding some of the greatest tensions now between the founders and their values and the new generations coming through. They've never had to face up to the fact that they've not been cutting edge before now. They've never been old until now, but now they are. And I think it can be a bit of a shock to some of the leaders and founders of these organizations, or perhaps those who were followers of the leaders and founders of these organizations, that those values are no longer widely held. But these things are not sacrosanct.
Yeah. We've looked at some of the positive things that the Gen Xers bring to an organization. Let's be honest. Let's bring some of the negatives that Gen Xers bring to an organization.
I like to say that the positives and negatives of anything are a bit like for ourselves. My strengths are usually the flip side of my weaknesses. The things that I'm good at, when taken to extreme, can become a personal weakness. And I think that can be the same with Gen Xers. So the asset that they bring, their honesty, their frankness, their desire to question things, to try new things out, can be a problem sometimes. For myself, when I became a director of an organization, I decided I would spend the first 6 months just listening, just visiting, just learning, and not start anything new for 6 months. Now, I mean, some people listening might think that was no time at all, but for me, that was an awfully long time. But it was the best thing I did, because it gave me time to see what was done and why, to begin to orient myself. And then I proposed some fairly radical changes fairly quickly afterwards, not all of which were accepted straight away, but were in time. And I think the need to just bite our own tongue sometimes is something we need to do. We can be too impatient. We can question too many things. We can be too blunt. We can shoot from the hip too quickly without considering people's feelings, because we want people to be frank with us. We want people to treat us in the way that we want. And we sometimes forget that therefore we should do the same. We need to treat other people in the way that they want to be treated. That's not new. And Jesus made that fairly clear. And so as we as Gen Xers want to be treated as people who are independent and who have freedom to experiment and who want the truth and want honesty and bluntness, we need to recognise that there are others who like things put in a more respectful or roundabout kind of way. And we need to limit our freedom in return so that we can treat others in the way that they want to be treated.
So it's looking also at the whole, the community whole, the benefit of the community rather than just us as individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In all these conversations I've had now, I think the worst thing that could happen is if all organizations were remade entirely in the image of Gen Xers, because basically they'd then do fairly well for about 10 years and then all fall apart. And in fact, I suspect they might not even last that long. It's not a case of us trying to seize power and turn the world into our image. I think sometimes that Gen Xers feel that those that have gone before us have done that, and we resent that. And therefore, it would be a big mistake for us to try and turn organisations to work in ways that only we are happy with. We need organisations that allow us to be ourselves, but that also allow other generations to be themselves. And that's a real challenge. It's a hard challenge to get people of different national cultures to work together. And it can be a real hard challenge to get people of different generational cultures to work together. But that's why managers and directors are paid so much, except in agencies, of course. But but that's the challenge, to treat people as they wish to be treated.
Okay, let's talk about those managers and directors, even national as well as regional and local. What advice can we say to them to help the Gen Xers in their organization? Let's start specifically with leadership. We've already discussed that leadership is an issue.
Yep.
What is your advice in leading the Gen X culture?
Okay, well, I think the first thing to say is that Gen Xers are not looking for heroes. They're not looking to be inspired. They're not looking for the kind of motivational talk, because they see through that kind of thing. They're looking for people who will give them freedom and give them a lot of freedom, give them enough rope to hang themselves with, I suppose, is one way of putting it. They're wanting people who are going to stand by them, who not only trust them and say, yep, you've got a lot of freedom to experiment, but you can also make mistakes, and it'll be okay to make mistakes. And when you do, because you will, then we'll pick you up and we'll do it again, or you can do it again in a different way. There won't be any kind of I told you so, or well, we tried it and it failed. I had the terrific experience of working with a colleague. We were both directors of an organization, and he is 25 years older than me. And he gave me a tremendous amount of freedom to experiment and try new things. But he also, what I like to say, was stood behind me, backing me up, even things that I was doing that maybe he wasn't entirely convinced about, but he would back me up. And I used to say that there were some people who wanted to shoot me because of what I was doing, but they didn't fire because they didn't want to hit him. And he was standing close enough that if they shot, they might hit him, not me. And that kind of endorsement from respected senior people who have got a reputation that's trusted, that willingness to, in a sense, lend some of their credibility and take a bit of a risk in people is absolutely central, and be willing to back them up and pick them up when they fail and help them to have another go.
Is mentoring leadership something that the Gen X culture appreciates?
I think so, although I think there are sometimes as many definitions of mentoring as there are mentors. When mentoring is taken to mean, come alongside me and I will teach you everything I know and show you how to do it, we're not looking for that.
Okay.
I think the kind of mentoring we're looking for is the kind of support that says, I will help you to learn how to be effective as an individual, as a leader, as a manager. And I will bring my learning, but I recognize that my learning as a mentor was in a different cultural context, in a different time, in a different era. And the answers I came up with are not going to be the same as the ones you come up with. It's kind of a process support rather than passing on of lessons. We're not looking for kind of the passing down of wisdom from earlier generations, but we're looking for someone who will help us to learn for our time what they learned for theirs.
So we've looked at leadership. One other area that is discussed in your book is the support structure for the Gen Xers. Can you define the support structure that a Gen Xer is looking for?
Bearing in mind, of course, that, as I've said earlier, that Gen Xers are a very diverse group, and therefore some people are excluded by this. I think what Gen Xers are looking for is very good emergency aid.
Once we've hung ourselves.
We want someone there with a pair of scissors fairly quickly to cut us down. We're not wanting someone who is going to micromanage us. I'm not convinced we want kind of what I'd call touchy-feely regular counselling, because that's not how we work. I think we can be a fairly hard generation at times. But we want the kind of pastoral support that says, if you need help, it'll be delivered very quickly. The response times will be very quick and you'll get all you need. We're looking for feedback. We're not looking for micromanagement. So if we're given a job to do, don't tell us how to do it. But if we come to you, give us feedback. I think the core principle is that let the person be in charge of their own feedback needs, mentoring needs, pastoral care needs, but make sure that what they ask for is available when they want it. And I know that's putting a very set of heavy demands on people, but I think that's what will be needed. I've said elsewhere, and I think we need to treat our staff as if they're customers. Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, we try to respond to our customers and meet their needs, and I think we need to treat our staff in the same way. So feedback when it's asked for, pastoral care and support when it's asked for, readily available, but don't swamp people with it in advance. Just make it available when it's requested.